No, not really. I mean, if I could get it down to a soundbite, I sure as hell wouldn't have taken 8.5 years on it so far and work on it for another 7. Just, again, that returns us to the superior and inferior position in terms of power. I mean, there is a lot of power to be had as a creative person if you're just going to, you know, if you're going to get other people to do your work, basically, and, you know, the latitude in terms of being an entrenched creative person, assuming that I decided tomorrow that I wanted to do a, you know, separate Cerebus anthology where I wouldn't write and draw the stuff, but I sort of handpick people to do Cerebus stories. That's an awful lot of power. There's an awful lot of really good people who would probably be tickled to death to do it for like $15 a page, just of what it would do for their career, and, you know, I would make enormous sums. And, you know, the problem, I don't think there's so much a problem with power. I think we have come far enough as a civilization that, you know, people who just traffic in power that way are only really acceptable to other people like them. And I think there's fewer and fewer of them all the time. I hope there are. I'm a person who's very uncomfortable with those kinds of power. You know, I interviewed far too many professionals, you know, as a comics fan, we're talking like early 1970s, and then, you know, had too many friends who were, you know, trying to edge into the business through the mid-70s to late 70s and whatnot, and too many friends who worked at the mainstream companies who had these horror stories about, you know, what I considered criminal exploitation, that I just stay away from it. I just think that that's a very... I have to be very careful here. I could not get up and look myself in the mirror every morning if I was, you know, essentially counting on the fact that whatever arrangement I had with this person might come to light at some time, and boy, would I look like shit out of that. Well, I don't think so. I don't think that creativity is a way to enlightenment. I think it's probably karmic treading water. You know, you just sort of, well, I'm here, and it's like I don't think I really want to control the whole joint, but I don't think this is one of my lifetimes where I want to go and sit in a monastery and not say a word for 15 years. You know, something inherently vulgar in creating another reality. Like, I don't know, I get this perception that if there is something or some entity that puts us here, they shouldn't look at creative people and go, no. You know, I put you there to work on your shit. So that you could create a bunch of other people and say, oh, look at all these horrible things I can do to them. Look at how I can manipulate all these real world people with what I do to them. No, I think it's pointless, you know, because the world, you know, the world is not as guaranteed in the American Constitution that you can petition the government to redress grievances. You can't just go to Entertainment Tonight and say, I want a good explanation as to why you don't cover comic books. It's like, well, if they ever really find it necessary, they won't need anybody talking them into it. Right now, you know, I think we have to content ourselves with just being a particularly low-cost raw material for Hollywood. If you're not just happy with the fact that there's some really good comic books are coming out, then you'll just have to content yourself with the fact that, you know, I don't see it. You know, if there's enough of a level of quality and people genuinely get attracted to it, then that's when it happens. But you can't get the cart before the horse. I don't think you well by, you know, suddenly having the unwashed masses pouring into comic book stores and pawing over everything. There's a great deal there that I wouldn't want them to see, either lack of quality or lack of taste or combination of that. You know, it's, I think we'll know when it's time, because they'll come and get us. I think it's far better to just enjoy this time period. I mean, you know, rock and roll had probably a 6 to 8 year really good, almost on the edge of discovery, but still this nice, you know, tight little group of like-minded people before it just became this giant, venal, and corrupt corporate thing. You just have to think of all of our experiences as an environment with Marvel and DC over the last 15 or 20 years, and it's, you know, that permeates everything. When you really do get the mainstream acceptance, all of those really loathsome corporate things, to me, you know, cheapen and diminish the conventions and whatnot. That just becomes everywhere, and there's nothing else besides that. That's not something to look forward to. Like, God, you know, if we can just get there, woo! Boy, nothing but suits everywhere, and you know, everybody else locked up behind, you know, chain link fences. It's just not, it's not my kind of thing. It's one of the nice things about the comic book field is that there is still a comic book field apart from that. Yeah. We're in another dimension, and we know where the portal is. You know, Kevin and Peter went through there, and the next time we saw them, they were in USA Today. You know, so we know that that's there. If that's something that appeals to you, you know, there's a lot of guys who are just pounding on that portal trying to get through, and other people that just seem to get sucked through it. I'm one of the guys that's not interested in going near it. It's all that other stuff. It's not a comic book, you know. Comic books definitely get, you know, very, very little respect, and deservedly so for the most part, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, I would like to keep whatever quality Cerebus has, you know, whatever reputation it has, confined strictly to, you know, there is an exception. There is a good, you know, monthly comic book. There is a good 6,000-page story in progress. As soon as you go somewhere else, practically anything is bigger than us. You know, if you do a Cerebus toy, you can end up having, you know, the number one best-selling toy in the world, and then the comic book just looks like a cheap knockoff. Whatever it is, you know, a television show. As soon as the Turtles became a television show, it was a television show. And at that point, the comic book just looks like a really cheap bit of merchandising. You know, that's just the bottom of the barrel of greed for most
yeah.
things. It's like, oh, man, you know, I can understand doing a lunch bucket or a toothbrush, something you can use, but a comic book, oh, God, are these people just grabbing it with both hands? But that's, you know, that's one of those things. I take a great deal of pride in Cerebus. I take a great deal of pride in you know, having some significance in the comic book field, if only through, you know, breaking Stanley and Jack Kirby's record on the FF. So consequently, anytime I talk to corporate people, it's so obvious to me, and also the fact that I self-published, you know, I've never really had a boss. They are just so patronizing, and they are so cocksure, and they are so arrogant, and they are so, I mean, that's just what Hollywood people are. And, you know, it's like, if you're trying to talk me into something, you're sure going about it the wrong way, you know. And again, that's one of those power things. A Hollywood person is talking to you, and they definitely let you know that they're the ones doing you the favor. And it's like, well, go fuck yourself. Let me see if I can find a nice way to say that. No, that just about sums it up. Go fuck yourself. Well, I don't think so. I think it's not really that surprising, because artists are sort of the last of the rugged individuals as well. You don't want to be sort of lumped in with everybody else, because that's what got on your tits back when you were in high school.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons that you went out and tried to become a creative person of some kind. But it is, you know, it is very, very problematic in that way. I mean, it also has to do with a capitalist society. For some people, capitalism is just the best way of providing for everyone. And for other people, it's the best way to isolate as much of the loot onto your own plate, to mix a metaphor, as you can. And, you know, that's really two different interpretations. They co-opt the term. I mean, it's one of those things. Same thing happened with independent comic. You know, same thing happened with alternative comics. The goal is to create a circumstance where everyone is free to behave in the same unethical fashion. So you can't have a term that permits a circumstance to exist where you know, all the behavior is implicitly ethical. So, you know, that is one of those difficult things. As soon as they call it self-publishing, you know, and then open the door for behind closed door negotiations on a work made for hire basis, with the attitude that, hey, as long as it's okay by the guy I'm striking the deal with, what business is it of yours? If that had been the entirety, 100% of the viewpoint in the comic book field, we would never have creator-owned contracts. We wouldn't have had, you know, any improvement in the working conditions. I think the freelance guys and the company adherent people tend to dramatically overlook the impact of things like self-publishing, like more public negotiation in the late 70s and early 80s, as contributing to the situation in which they find themselves, you know, a much better creative situation. And that if all of the, you know, self-publishing in all its permutations and if creator ownership all got rolled into the big companies these guys are working for, then conditions would become reprehensible again.